This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Yes, it is another final pitch here on The Good Neighbor. And tonight, again, the Twins lose a close one. Another one-run loss for the Minnesota Twins. They fall to the Cincinnati Reds, 6-5. Getting your reaction, getting your thoughts for the next 30 minutes at 651-461-9226. I'm your host, Henry Lake. The Twins now are sitting at 36-36, right at 500. Cincinnati improves to 38-35. And I guess the question of the night, we haven't done a question of the night in a while, but we'll do a question of the night. And you can call us about the question of the night, or you can text us about the question of the night. But at this particular point in the season, with the Royce Lewis injury, with the injuries in your starting rotation, what do the Twins need to lean on? Pitching? And when I say pitching, I'm talking about starting pitching, or is it the offense needs to step up? Which of the two? Because what we've seen is that for the most part, outside of the 13-game winning streak, and even during that time, not everything is going to be, from a chemistry perspective, just gelling and everything's firing on all cylinders. That's just not realistically what happens. We've seen stretches where the pitching's been outstanding. We have seen stretches where the offense has been clicking, but generally, not both at the same time. So if you have to pick one or the other, where do you feel like we need to lean on? Because I think that's an important question that dictates how we feel and what we expect out of the Twins for the short term. And I say that because me personally, when I look at this team, I feel like the best version of this team is a team that's going to be able to lean on that starting rotation. But with Pablo Lopez not being available, I don't think you have any option. You have to hope and pray that the offense is going to put runs on the board. That's how I feel about it. And do I think that tonight they put enough runs on the board? Absolutely. When they ended up being gifted a 3-run home run and they took a lead of 5-4, it was on the bullpen at that point. And they just were not able to get it done. But 651-461-9226. Which of the two do we have to, for the short term, rely on? Like, has to be the identity of Twins baseball. Is it the starting rotation finding a way? I just don't think it's possible with the guys and the arms that you got going. Or is it, yeah, you got to scratch and claw and you got to put at least 4 or 5 runs on the board every single night you go out there. 651-461-9226. And I say that because tonight it was another situation in which you had a young pitcher by the name of David Festa who looked good through the first 3 innings and then got into trouble. And this goes back to what I said at the last Inbound Brewing remote that we did, 2 blocks away from Target Field. And I said it to Christopher Tubbs up on that stage in front of all those people that were sitting there, is that I like a lot David Festa. I like Zebby. I like Simeon Woods Richardson. But to think that you are going to be able to ride the young starters in really a pressure situation here without Pablo, I think it's being unrealistic to think that you're going to do that and have confidence in it. It's one thing to have a guy go out there like Simeon Woods Richardson did on Sunday, and he pitched his butt off. He deserved, not necessarily him because he didn't go deep into the ballgame, but the team deserved to win that game. But your closer didn't close the door. He lost it in the ninth. That was a missed opportunity. That was a stop-the-bleeding situation. The bleeding continues. So, yeah, you're going to have games where Festa's going to give you five, or Woods Richardson will give you six. But to have confidence in that? You can't have confidence in that. Don't look me in the eyes and tell me that you got confidence in that. Because I'm not buying it. I'm not buying that from you. 651-461-9226. Tonight, David Festa went 3 2/3 innings, gave up two hits. Because remember now, going into the fourth, he hadn't given up anything. He had a no-hitter going into the fourth. But in the fourth, he had troubles. Gave up two hits, four runs, two of them earned. He walked three, struck out four on 81 pitches. I would ask you, Christopher Tubbs, offense, starting rotation the way it's constructed right now, for the short term, if you had to lean on somebody, where do you go?
To me, you got to lean on the offense. And that might sound weird considering that this team has not scored a whole lot of runs recently. But the very fact that, you know, we were talking about these young guys and we're talking about Simeon Wood Richardson and David Festa and Zebby Matthews. But to me, Henry, for this team to be successful in their rotation, you need one of those guys at a time, maybe two, but you don't need to rely on all three. And the problem is now with one of those down, you've got to rely on the other two. Hence, there goes the depth that you were looking at in AAA. You've already gone through what you thought was a strength, and we are just in the middle of June. So I look at it this way. I think you are more likely to get a hot streak out of a Willie Castro or keep what Brooks Lee is doing. You're more likely to put together, you know, four or five runs a game than you are to expect to get quality starts out of a Simeon Woods Richardson or a, you know, I don't know about Chris Paddock. I know people are sour on him. I'm going to hope it's just a bump in the road. But Chris Paddock was a luxury. When he's got to be a necessity, I think you're putting too much pressure on Bailey Ober and Joe Ryan to be perfect. When they're not perfect, we end up looking at these, you know, these losing 9 out of 11 like we are now.
I agree with you, and I think that you've come around a little bit more to my thinking from a couple of weeks ago.
Well, here's the thing, though. I never said that they were not in some trouble when Pablo went down.
But you have more confidence in the young guys, and I said there's no evidence to have confidence in them.
But the reason I said that I had confidence in them, though, was because of what I had seen out of Zebby. Zebby going down, I think, is a bigger deal than what people are thinking.
But even then, I said sample size.
Well, yeah, absolutely.
According to sample size, there was nothing that indicated that any Twins fan out there in Twins territory should have confidence. If we want to use other phrases and words, we can, but confidence is not one of them. Not based on the sample size.
And that's fine.
Because people were more down on Simeon Woods Richardson than Zebby Matthews. And I'm like, what? We see more out of Simeon Woods Richardson than we have from Zebby.
See, but I understand we've seen more from him because he's been at the major league level longer. But I will still make the case that I feel like at the major league level, Zebby Matthews is a better pitcher than Simeon Woods Richardson. I will make that proclamation.
Well, I think it's too early to make. I think that's too early to make that proclamation.
Okay, I think that we've seen enough.
We may get there. We may get there, but we're not there yet.
I think we've seen enough of Simeon with the sample size to know what his ceiling is, and I don't think that his ceiling is as high as what it is for Zebby Matthews.
That's where we disagree. I don't think that we've seen Simeon Woods Richardson's ceiling yet. I don't. The same way we haven't seen Zebby's ceiling, the same way we haven't seen David Festa's, we've seen more of Simeon Woods Richardson, but I sincerely don't think that we've seen the ceiling. I know that he's had some struggles. He's been in tough spots. And last year, when he was thrown into the mix, like, that was way, way premature. So that's the reason why I think that that's the fundamental difference. I think that we see things pretty much the same. I just don't think that we've seen the ceiling anywhere near close to the ceiling for Stephen Woods Richardson. Now, I'm not saying that he is going to be some like dynamic number two or anything like that. I do think that he is going to be, at least for the short term, or at least maybe the next year or two, whatever, back of the rotation type of guy. But I don't think that we've seen the ceiling yet.
And to me, I don't know what that ceiling is, but I'm not
None
looking.
Of us do.
Yeah, and but I just, from what I've seen so far, I don't see a high ceiling. I hope that I'm wrong and that he's a late bloomer, but as of right now, I, you know, as much as I don't want to say it, I just have to say what I've seen.
The reason why we ultimately don't believe, not we as in myself, but I think some Twins fans don't see, they feel like they see the ceiling for him, is because of how he pitches. He doesn't necessarily have the swing and miss stuff. He has to be locating his pitches. He's got to get ground outs. He's not a strikeout guy. I think that that's the number one reason why, at this particular point, a lot of people don't have that faith. All right, 651-461-9226. We'll take our first break. Love to get your reaction via the text line, via phone call or two. Twins fall to the Reds, 6-5, game one of this series next on Final Pitch.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
All right, welcome back to Final Pitch News Talk 830 WCCO. Twins fall to the Reds 6-5. I wonder if Dan Hayes, I wonder if Aaron Gleeman, I wonder if any of the media members covering Twins baseball are diving into some Skyline chili right now. You ever had some Skyline, Chris?
I've never had Skyline, but I've heard it's to catch
stuff.
Me out. I've heard it's
stuff.
Awesome. Yeah,
it's now. Don't quote me as somebody saying that like it's a game changer. It's unbelievable. No, it's no. It is when you go to Cincinnati, you got to dive in. You got to try it. Like it's decent. I'm not saying it's remarkable chili.
Wow.
Right. No, I'm not saying. No,
you're telling me the one thing that Cincinnati is really taking pride for is just mid. That's what you're saying.
No.
Yeah, that's what you're saying.
No, that's not what I'm saying. They take pride in it like nothing else. Like it's a thing there. Like everybody has a thing, right? And Skyline Chili is a thing. I'm not saying it's good. I like it. Like if I was to be in Cincinnati covering the series, mm-hmm. I would definitely go to Skyline and I would go multiple times. Okay. It's a good chili dog or stuff like that. Now, the one thing that I don't do is they'll put the chili on the spaghetti and they call it like a three-way and stuff. Like, you have to look it up. I'm not into all of that. Just give me chili cheese hot dogs. Let's do that.
Okay. I don't know.
It's good stuff.
I don't know if I want to.
If I say that there's something that I'm going to identify with Cincinnati, I know that Skyline Chili is a thing, but you know what I think more of?
WKRP?
No, oh. Grater's Ice Cream. It's their ice cream spot downtown Cincinnati. It's awesome.
I'm an ice cream guy. Yeah, I know you're an ice cream
Grater's,
guy.
I've never had it. Yeah, Grater's.
Okay, well, I will wait to get home to look up three-way because I don't want to look that up on a computer at work. Just because I just don't know what I'm going to get, and I don't want to have to explain it to Jimmy
you
Erickson.
You just can't do a quick Google search of Skyline Three-Way? You got to put Skyline in there.
Oh, okay. Skyline Three-Way. Well, that changes everything. Okay.
Skyline Chili Three-Way. Come on, man. Why are you trying? This is safe harbor hours anyway.
Yeah, that's true.
It has nothing to do with your computer, though, so I give you that.
Okay, yep, there it is. It is a dish consisting of a bed of spaghetti topped with signature chili and then generously covered.
See?
And I like how they say generously. Oh, my God.
It's all cheese.
That is like a damn heart attack. Wow.
Oh.
Would you like some? I mean, that's like 90% cheese.
You like to eat, so don't complain.
Are you kidding? I'm wearing an extra large shirt. I'm going to grow into the double X. I'm a big boy now.
All right, this comes in a text line from the 763. The Twins are back to their losing ways again. It's time for the Twins to lose 13 games in a row to match their 13-game winning, basically winning streak. Earlier in the season, the players could care less about winning because they are getting paid the big bucks already. Why are you being so negative, text line? What are you talking about?
That's not a real text
line.
That's not a real text. That's not a real
text. I'm reading the text.
Well, I know, but they...
But
they
hold on, think about that. This texter cannot be a true Twins fan.
No, they're trolling you.
Lose 13 in a row because they won 13 in a row? Come on, why are you being so negative?
Yeah, I mean...
And the players could care less? The check is going to be the same, right?
Mm-hmm.
So why not win? That should be the philosophy. You mean to tell me that Byron Buxton doesn't care about winning? Come on, stop it.
Well, and I mean, let's not forget some of these younger guys. This is a major league paycheck. This is not a AAA paycheck. So every day that they're in the major leagues, that is a that is a major league salary for them. So, I mean, even Deshaun Kersey, he's pulling a major league check right now. I think he cares a lot. Here's a reason why I'm going to be optimistic, Henry. You know, all joking and whatnot aside, I don't think the Twins right now, you're 10 games behind Detroit.
Negative.
Yeah. I mean, you're a game out of the wild card spot. So you're still in the middle of everything. The Pablo Lopez injury, the Zebby Matthews injury, the Royce Lewis injury, these are not season ending. Now, the Twins have expected Pablo Lopez to pitch meaningful innings later on, which means that he's going to be back sooner rather than later. Royce Lewis should be back hopefully around the All-Star break. By the way, you've got Luke Keyshaw, who should be back from the forearm fracture.
Yeah, I wouldn't say sooner than later for Pablo. They say he's out 3 months.
But when they say meaningful innings, to me that tells me that you're expecting him back.
They said 12 weeks.
Which still means that you've got
September.
Which still means that you've got September.
Yeah.
So I
the final month of the year.
Yeah. Well, when I say sooner rather than later, you're looking at the beginning of the month rather than the rather than the end of the month.
It's still 3 months though.
It is. But when they say that it's not season ending. It's not like you're going to get him back with a week or two left to go in the season and think that you're going to have to try and ramp him up to try and, you know, make a postseason run. You get these guys back into the mix and you're in business. I mean, this team did not win 13 games in a row by accidents. You know, Bailey Ober, Carlos Correa, they're struggling right now.
Yeah, but they lean on the pitching though, and your top pitcher's out. So that's the part of the issue. Like, I'm not sure that they can lean on the pitching at this particular point the way that their rotation is constructed.
No, and I'm not saying that they should lean on the pitching. I mean, I'm just talking about the timeline for these injuries to think that, oh my God, this thing is done and it's over.
It's not done.
No, it's not over. You got to get Carlos Correa healthy. Like, Carlos Correa has got to give you something offensively. You can't have these 0-for-4s in the middle of the lineup when you don't have Royce Lewis. You need more from Carlos Correa because right now Byron Buxton is carrying this offense.
From the 612, for now I take Sim over Zebby. Come on, we're not even halfway through. Be positive, people. Yes, I'm screaming that too. I'm not negative. In this division, the second best team, I think, is going to get to the postseason. And I still believe we're the second best team behind the obvious best team in the Detroit Tigers. I do believe that. I know that Kansas City won tonight.
Mm-hmm.
They snapped their losing streak, but Kansas City has been brutal as well. And they really cannot score. Their problem is they can't score. That's the issue with the Kansas City.
Cleveland is
a little bit healthier than us too.
Well, Cole Ragan's back in the IL with that rotator cuff. I mean, if that's something that lingers, that is a significant blow.
Sure.
If he can't, and now, you know, granted.
But
you know,
Bubic and Lugo are still going to be really good guys for them.
They are. Let's consider this. Detroit is 6-4 over the last 10. The Guardians, the Twins, and the Royals are all 10-8. I think what makes it look bad right now is you're in a 5-game losing streak, which has bumped you to a game outside of the wild card. And you're still very much in this. Slumps come and go. Everything ebbs and flows. as much as we love Buck right now, he's going to go through one of those 0-for-25 slumps where he strikes out 15 times. You know, he's going to strike out four times in a game, and we're going to think, well, what the hell is going on? But that's just the way that's what happens when you've got a 162-game season.
All right, it's time to find out who cooked tonight.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Who fired up the bats? Who served up gas on the mound?
Strike three, you're out.
Let's dish it out piping hot as we talk about who cooked tonight. Presented by Chef IQ Sense on News Talk 830 WCCO.
All righty, it's time to find out who cooked tonight. And to me, it's obvious who cooked tonight. The guy that cooked tonight was Byron Buxton. Byron Buxton defensively got it done, and offensively he got it done. The highlight of the night, though, was the him robbing a home run in the bottom of the second.
A 1-1 hit in the air, right center field, Buxton back, base of the wall, Byron leaps up and makes the catch.
There's your all-star.
Byron Buxton stole a dinger from Will Benson.
Yeah, that was unbelievable. That was unbelievable play. And then the very next half inning, Byron Buxton gets the Twins on the board with the solo home run. Buck, he has the type of ability to carry the team, but he's going to need help. Tonight he was 1-for-4 with the home run. He robbed the home run right there. That was just a spectacular sequence, man. It really was.
It kind of reminds you of a sequence that he had earlier, doesn't it, in the season when he – you know, robs a base hit. I can't remember against who, and then he has a big home run like the bottom of the next inning.
I can't remember what game you're talking about. But there's so many games.
Yeah. that's a good thing though. When everything kind of comes together, when it's like that. Yeah, Byron Buxton, incredible night tonight. And again, where would this team be without Byron Buxton?
Worse off.
Yes.
That's safe to say. Yeah. That's Who Cooked Tonight, presented by Chef IQ Sense. Never under or overcook your chicken, fish, or meat again with Chef IQ Sense. Buy yours now at chefiq.com. We'll take a break. We'll come back. We'll get to the highlights and the post-game reaction. We'll do that next year on Final Pitch. All right, final segment of Final Pitch, News Talk 830 WCCO. Twins fall to the Reds 6-5. And there is one thing that I do want to discuss and get into with Christopher Tubbs here before we get into the highlights. I know that we talked about Festa. I know that we talked about the offense. We talked about the starting rotation. The reality of tonight, though, Chris, is that there was something unusual that occurred with the Twins losing. And what happened that was so unusual was Brock Stewart was bad tonight. Brock Stewart's never bad. Brock Stewart is one of my favorite guys to watch come out of that bullpen. Mm-hmm. He's always good. Tonight, he was not good at all. That was the shock and surprise, is that Brock Stewart comes out of the bullpen. He pitched two-thirds of an inning. He gave up three hits. He never gives up three hits. He gave up two earned runs. He walked two batters. He struck out one. He threw 33 pitches. Brock Stewart, that might have been his worst outing as a member of the Minnesota Twins organization. He's never bad.
Yeah, and that was kind of a weird part of the game, too, because the Twins were down 4-1, and then Joey Wentz comes in, and you're thinking, okay, this is just kind of a mop-up duty for Joey Wentz. And then you have that just, weird home run that Harrison Bader had, and then here comes Brock Stewart. With the lead, and he got the first two outs.
Yep.
And, came back. He was down 3-0 to Will Benson. But then what it was, Henry, and this is kind of what it's been for this team, especially in that series against Houston, it's the bottom of the order that is killing you, because Fraley and McClain had back-to-back singles. you know, Friedel then had the two-run double, and boom, next thing you know, it's 6-5, and then you walk Lux, and then Topa's got to come in. And, oh, by the way, you got Ellie De La Cruz, who is the last guy that Brock Stewart, you know. Sometimes guys, just like the offense, we're so used to guys producing at a certain level that when Brock Stewart has a blow up, we're like, man, what's wrong with Brock?
But the reason why I bring this up is because it's an outlier. Like, Brock Stewart is not a guy that I don't have faith in. Brock Stewart is not a bad baseball player.
No, he's not.
He's one of your best arms out of the bullpen. You never see Brock Stewart off like he was tonight. So to me, I actually look at tonight's game and I feel like it was a better effort than, and I know that we walk away with a loss. A loss is a loss. It's still an L in the column. But I just, that's not a typical Brock Stewart effort is what I'm saying.
No, you know, not only that, you had, I think that the David Festa, I think it was great. I think Ellie De La Cruz in the fourth, I think him being on base, I know that, you know, Justin Morneau was talking about the umpire delay and whatnot and, you know, having all of that. I really think that Ellie De La Cruz is just a menace when he gets on base because he's a threat with anywhere that he's on between that and walking eight guys as a staff. I mean, this was a game that the Twins should have won, and it's unfortunate. They didn't get blown out like they did in
But Ellie had nothing to do with Brock.
No, he didn't. I guess I was going back to Festa and kind of how no, that. But yeah,
I think that this game essentially was on Brock. Like that blew up in our face. That was where the game. That was the shift. We had the lead.
Yeah.
Bullpen's got to lock it now. Bullpen's got to lock it now.
And I mean, out of, you know, you put Brock Stewart in that position 10 times, he's going to succeed at
nine
least
out of 10 times.
Eight out
Tonight
of nine.
Was the one time he did.
Yeah, 8 out of 9, 9 out of 9. He's going to be fine.
All right, let's get to the highlights. Top of the third, the Twins get everybody on the board first. Not them, but for us, the solo home run at the spectacular play that he made in the bottom of the second. Solo shot, Twins lead 1-0.
Swung on and hit well, right near the spot where Benson's ball was caught. Friedel's at the base of the wall. He leaps. He won't get it. And it's a home run for Byron Buxton. Buxton stole one in right center field and then hits one up onto the grassy berm over the outstretched glove of Friedel. And the Twins lead 1-0.
But speaking of Benson, in the bottom of the fourth, he got his revenge. David Festa got into all sorts of trouble. And it looked like potentially he was maybe going to get his way out of the jam. Just couldn't get it done. Benson here with an RBI double.
Runners go. Lined into left center field. That's a base hit. De La Cruz will score easily. And with a head start, Stevenson will score as well. He rounds third as Benson settles at second base. It's a two-out, two-run double for Will Benson. And it's a 2-1 Reds lead.
Reds led at 2-1 at that particular point. It didn't stop there. Fraley here with the RBI single. They extend the lead to 4-1.
At second and third, and the 1-2 is hit into right field, and it's going to get the Reds an extra run. The lead runner scores. Here comes Steer. He'll score two. Oh, what a disaster here in the fourth inning. It's 4-1 Reds.
The Twins, though, they would continue to fight. Trevor Larnach has come up with some clutches so far this season. Here, this RBI single gets one back for the good guys. Reds still lead 4-2, but the Twins are fighting.
Two on. Swung on and lined back up the middle. McClain can't get it into right field for a base hit. France will round and score, and it's a 4-2 ball game. Second hit of the night for Trevor Larnach. A little lefty on lefty crime as he knocks in the Twins' second run.
4-2 we trailed, but then Harrison Bader comes up to the plate. He hits one deep. This was such a weird play because Fraley made a play on it. It looked like he might catch it. The ball falls and skips off of his glove. He actually pushes it over the wall. 3-run home run. Twins now lead 5-4.
As Bader hits one high in the air, right field.
Go ball.
Fraley going back, gets some carry. He jumps at the wall, and he knocked it over the wall. Jake Fraley goat-headed the ball over the wall into the front row for a 3-run homer, and the Minnesota Twins flip the scoreboard. They lead it 5-4 on a gift from Jake Fraley.
Twins lead 5-4, but like we mentioned, Brock Stewart couldn't get it done. And He gave up a two-run double in the Reds in that bottom of the sixth, immediately took back the lead, and that would end up being the final score, actually.
2-1 in the air, right center field. Wallner racing after it. Wallner dives, can't get it. It rolls to the wall. Fraley ties the game. Here comes McClain, no throw, and it's 6-5 Reds. Three consecutive two-out hits for Cincinnati, and they're on their feet in the Queen City.
All right, let's get to the post-game reaction. Let's start with the starting pitcher, David Festa, just talking about the self-inflicted wounds there in the fourth.
I think the thing I can maybe take out of that is that I walked two guys. So I believe Stevenson, I was 0-2 and ended up walking him. And then, I just can't, I walked the leadoff guy to Lux. He took a good 3-2 changeup, I thought. But, I can't put the leadoff guy on. I can't lose Stevenson there. And almost got out of the inning. Got the pop-up to Strand and then battled back to Benson 3-2, and then I left the fastball down and he made me pay. So that type of stuff, it's totally self-inflicted, and that's what kind of bothers me the most.
One of the things that we never see, and I just brought it up coming out of the commercial break, is that we just don't see Brock Stewart struggle the way he did tonight. And Rocco said as much. We just don't see innings like that against Brock.
Brock is almost never going to give up three straight hits, and couple of, they kind of shot it the other way and used the whole field, just put it in play, and things worked out, and then they hit a gap too, and some, that's just, it's part of the game. Sometimes they're going to hit it where we're not able to get to it, and he doesn't give up too many hits in the first place, so we'll take our chances with Brock right there, of course, but obviously a tough way to lose the lead when you have that, you're in a great situation with the right guy on the mound, and he was throwing the ball well.
And finally, Rocco, just talking about, how do you handle this run of one-run losses?
Truthfully, I think it's just focus. You can probably talk about each one of these games. All those games, you can probably talk about each one of them a little differently. It's not like one thing is happening in those games that is a direct correlation to, the wins and the losses. There's a lot of things that we can do. But I think if each one of us takes a step back and we're like, hey, let's not look at the big picture, and we're in the middle of the season right now. Let's focus on what can I do out there to help the team win, to play good fundamental baseball, make the plays that I can make, mentally be in the right place, be thinking ahead, just have good at-bats, not think as the game goes on you have to do more and more and more, or if you're not, or if there's some frustration or you're just not where you want to be, you're not going to make it all back in a swing or on one play. Just keep pressing forward.
All right, so the Twins fall to the Reds 6-5, but tomorrow I hope that they are able to nip in the bud this losing streak. Bailey Ober looking to stop the bleeding. He gets the ball for your Minnesota Twins. Final pitch tomorrow night with Tubbsy. I will talk to you guys on Thursday.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.